Hey, welcome to the Worn Shoes Podcast. My name is Zachary, and I interview people that have grown up around the world and learn about the extraordinary in their everyday lives. Today I'm talking with my friend Andrew, who grew up in Belgium. We talk a little bit about his life growing up in Belgium, when he transitioned to the United States, his senior year of high school, and a little bit about his faith journey. Hope that you guys enjoy our conversation. All right, Andrew, welcome to the Worn Shoes Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. Excited to have you on. To start off, could you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, what the word home means to you?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up most of my life in Belgium, which is a small country in Western Europe. When I was really little, my family lived in Turkey and Istanbul for a few years. But by the time I was 5 years old, I was already in Belgium. And so I lived there until I was 17. And then we moved back to the States. So we moved to Greenville, South Carolina. And I lived there for a few years. And then I eventually moved to Florida for school, and I got married here, and so now I live in Orlando, Florida. And I probably would consider that my home, seeing as my wife is from here, and we live here now, and her family is also here. So I would probably consider Florida my home.
Oh yeah, awesome. I mean, you mentioned growing up a little bit of time spent in Istanbul, Turkey, but kind of the majority of growing up being in Belgium. Could you tell me a little bit what it was like to grow up in Belgium, some of your education and hobbies and what it was like?
Yeah. So growing up in Belgium was pretty interesting. I think when I look back at it now, it was a lot of fun. I think early on when I was little, I kind of felt like a foreigner, but I think as I grew, I kind of felt more and more like I was one of them, like I was a Belgian. I started, kindergarten there, and kind of grew up with all the other little Belgian kids in the public school system. So, as time went on, it definitely got easier, I would say. But schooling in Belgium is a little intense. In first grade, they're already teaching you how to read and write in cursive, and they don't waste any time. So it can be challenging. I think once you get to like middle school, high school, it's very challenging. They expect you, at least the school system expects most of your time and energy to go into school. And so the downside of that is it really only allows for limited extracurricular activity, which I know in the States is like really important, that you have a lot of, you can join clubs and do sports and all that stuff. In Belgium, you don't really have time, a whole lot of time to do a lot of different things. So that's a downside. But that being said, my one extracurricular activity that I could do was basketball. So I started playing basketball pretty much when I got there and continued on until I eventually left. So
So some pretty intense schooling, and then growing up playing basketball in Belgium. And so you kind of mentioned with the extracurricular stuff, like was basketball kind of associated with the school you were going to, or was it like a club? Or
so it's a good question. So in Belgium, sports and school, or really any curricular activity, is separate from school. So All you're doing when you're at school is you're doing classes and schoolwork, and so if you want to do an extracurricular activity, you have to go to join a club, and they have, I mean, in Belgium they pretty much offer every sport, or right. You can pretty much do whatever you want. You just have to find a club in which you can do that. So yeah, it's all separate. It's just, yeah, I think for Americans, it's just very, very different, because they're so used to, sports and all that being connected to school. So I think it can be hard for them to kind of imagine, what it would be like if that weren't the case. So joining a club, it's kind of cool. You have to like sign a contract, so I was like a little kid, and you have to like sign a contract, like you belong to the club.
Wow.
But it was a lot of fun, because, some of my best friends came from basketball, because I met these kids when I was, 5, 6 years old, and we ended up playing together until we were, 16, 17. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Something you mentioned earlier I thought would be interesting is you kind of mentioned as a young kid really feeling like a foreigner, and then kind of as you got older kind of starting to feel more Belgian. I guess what are some of the things as a young kid that you kind of felt that kind of made you stand apart, and then as you kind of got older and started identifying more with being Belgian, what were some of those things that you're kind of able to integrate and connect with?
So, I think the big thing when I got there was I didn't know the language. So in the north of Belgium, they speak Dutch or Flemish, and in the south of Belgium, they speak French. But I didn't know the language, and I also just really knew nothing of the culture. There's always, anytime you go to a new culture, there are big cultural differences, and then there are small little nuances that really kind of take a long time for you to kind of identify and understand. And when I was little, it was more the bigger cultural things that were kind of in my face. I had to learn the language, so I was a little behind there. And I also, just wasn't. It was a lot of firsts for me. Like the first schooling I did was in Belgium. So I just kind of felt like I was growing up with them. But when I would go home, to an American household where, my parents were American and spoke English. And I was also labeled that way by others. Even though, I was literally starting kindergarten with them, I was always the American. And I think as I got older, I started to kind of understand the little nuanced differences, and I was able to kind of adapt to those. And by that point, I started to build some relationships, and I think I was always viewed as an American. And, I believe that as well. If someone tells you you're American all the time, you're going to believe it. But I think I was really more Belgian than I was American. And I really only fully grasped that when I left and moved to the States. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of an interesting dynamic that you don't really know what you have or what you're going through until you're not in that stage anymore and you're kind of looking back. So
I relate to that, and I mean that's kind of the, it's kind of the quintessential like TCK experience, right? It's like growing up, you're like, oh yeah, I'm what my parents' culture is. I'm an American, and then you come back to the States and you're like, oh, I'm not like Azerbaijani or Belgian necessarily, but like I'm definitely not American. Is kind of that feeling. So I relate to that. Where kind of growing up, I was like, well, I'm not Azeri, so I guess I'm American. And then I got back to the States. It's like, yeah, maybe not.
I don't really belong here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, kind of along that line. I mean, yeah, growing up in Belgium. And then you mentioned coming back to the States in Greenville to go to high school. Could you talk a little bit about that transition and maybe what that was like for you? Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to move that year. So typically, like, because I have older siblings, and when my older siblings move, they move for college, which is kind of the norm. But for me, we had to move. We didn't have a choice. So we moved, and I had to do my senior year in high school. And it was really challenging. There were a ton of challenges that I was not prepared for at all.
Yeah.
I think the main one being that I didn't realize how quote unquote un-American I was until I was actually in the States, because, and I'm sure you can relate to this, you know, growing up, you know, we would spend time in the States periodically, you know, for like vacations or, you know, when we had to go visit churches and whatnot. So it's not like American culture was totally foreign to me. But when I moved back and I was actually like a citizen, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, wow, like I have nothing in common with my peers. It was really hard, especially being a senior in high school. A lot of, you know, a lot of friendships have formed already, and they're also getting, a lot of kids are obviously about to go to college. So there wasn't a lot of room or space to like build new relationships in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not the most social person. So like, if I'm not really like getting approached by people, then I'm just not really going to make a ton of friends. I would say it was really hard. You know, I think I do wonder though, you know, Belgium having some similarities with the States. I wonder in your experience, you know, Azerbaijan, obviously very different than Belgium. Yeah. What was it like for you kind of going to the States? And where did you move to? Because I'm not sure. Where did you move?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I might as well say this because for people that maybe listening that don't know, but me and Andrew, so our parents were with the same missions organizations. So we've had connections pretty much through our whole life, you know, every 4 to 6 years, you know, seeing each other at different retreats or back in the States. So we've known each other for a really long time, but in kind of a very, you know, missionary kid, TCK, you know, type of way. It's been fun to reconnect. But yeah, we've never kind of really talked about like our whole story. So this is pretty fun. For me, I graduated high school when I was 19 and then moved back to the States to go to college. I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is where I'm at now, which I'm coming up on 7 or 8 years, I think. And we were in Azerbaijan for 10 years. So, you know, in a little bit, it'll be equal. And kind of you were talking about earlier about Orlando, you know, feeling like home, especially kind of with your wife's family. I think I relate to that a lot with Chattanooga. Azerbaijan is pretty different, you know, from the United States. Right. I mean, it doesn't even really fit in a category, right? Like Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia, kind of like, you know, Middle East, Central Asia, Europe, you know, they're not even like really sure necessarily where they want to fit in. And I think, coming back to the States, I had a really strong desire to kind of fit in. And because I think I did kind of have that overwhelming sense of like, okay, I thought I was American, but I'm definitely not. You know, after talking to a couple of people or being in community. And I think, you know, for a while, you know, I was born in Los Angeles, California. So I would tell people like, yeah, I'm from from California, Hollywood, you know, which at that time I didn't realize that had a certain association, you know, being in Chattanooga right. in the South. And so I got, you know, some weird looks, but for some other reasons, you know, and then that wasn't until I met, you know, another guy, his name's Brad, and he's an actual Californian, grew up in California, and he's like, oh yeah in LA, like what you know, county or where? And I was like, oh shoot. I got exposed. Called out. Yeah, exposed as a not a real American. So yeah, I think, you know, coming back, my first year was pretty fun, it was all like new and exciting, and then I think my second and third year it hit and got pretty difficult. But yeah, with yeah, I wanted to, you know, ask you, I mean, because I had the opportunity to kind of graduate high school, and a lot of my friends, you know, that I was going to school with, I was able, you know, we're all going off to college, you know, we're all kind of going and doing our own thing. And yeah, I imagine that, you know, because senior year, I mean, because I've had my senior year of high school and my senior year of college, I mean, it really is like a special time with like your closest friends. I mean, my senior year of college, I was able to, you know, live in a house with all my closest friends, and you know, we were able, it was probably my favorite year of college. And then in high school, you know, we had senior trips and all of that, so I can't imagine yeah, coming back to the States to a totally new high school and new people for my senior year. And I kind of wanted to ask, I mean, yeah, that seems incredibly difficult. I mean, even like, even if you're within the same culture, you know, if you were in the States and moving, you know, towns or whatever.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to ask, yeah, I mean, you mentioned your other siblings and going to college, but kind of why did your family, yeah, choose to move back? Cause I mean, it seems to me that that would probably be the most difficult for you.
Yeah, it was very difficult. So for those that don't know, when you're a missionary with MTW, after 6 years, you have to come back to the States for, they call it furlough, for 6 months. Hmm. And so we did not do that. And so instead we stayed 12 years, but then because of that, we had to stay in the States for a whole year instead of just 6 months. Hmm. So we were kind of at the limit of, okay, you have to come back now, and you have to come for at least a year. Hmm. So that was kind of the circumstances behind it. But in terms of like the kind of the struggle, I think, like you said, it's a very difficult situation. And I think, you know, I think there are those that can kind of, you know, do their best to, you know, make it like the least amount of difficulty, kind of trying your best to get by. In my case, I was not able to do that. Hmm. I think I was kind of caught in between two worlds, where I was like desperately trying to hold on to my life in Belgium and the relationships I had built over, you know, a 12-year span.
Yeah.
But so that kind of kept me from probably building relationships that year, you know, in high school, because, you know, I was holding on to those relationships. And I think what really kind of brought the hammer down in terms of just going through a really difficult time was realizing that the people back in Belgium, they weren't holding on to me. Mm. You know, so they're moving on with their lives, and I just kind of felt like I was stuck in limbo. Yeah. Where you know, I'm trying to hold on, but they're not holding on to me. And then it was also kind of like, what's the point of making connections here? Everyone's about to go off to college. So yeah, it was really hard. Especially the high school I went to, it was kind of like a big high school. It was a public school, and it was kind of known for being kind of preppy.
Right.
And so, you know, like, sophomores were driving to school, had their own cars, you know, I didn't have my license.
Yeah.
So I was the only senior riding the bus to school. Yeah. You know, another thing our school did, which I don't know why they did this, but you had like a colored lanyard dependent on what grade you were in. So everyone knew, oh, that's a senior. That's like you were wearing, you had to wear this lanyard. So everyone knew I was a senior.
And you were the only senior on the bus?
I was the only senior on the bus. Geez. And then I made the basketball team. So I made some friends on the basketball team, but none of them, I didn't have lunch with any of them. So for lunch hour, you know, I walk in, it's like full, there's like nowhere to sit. And so for like the first month or so, I just sat with like a bunch of freshmen. And they were like my friends for the first month and a half of school, which was kind of fun. I had fun with those guys, but you know, it was definitely for them. They looked at me like I was an alien. Like, you know, there are these little freshmen kind of nervous about being in high school, and they're like, why is this senior sitting with us?
And I mean, that was something you could probably relate to more so than any of the other seniors is freshmen.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was difficult to say the least.
Yeah. And and I mean, you talked about kind of really trying to hold on to that life, and those relationships in Belgium where they're all kind of moving off and doing their own thing. And no, that sounds really hard. And I think it is something I relate to with coming back, is there's definitely relationships and friendships that I think, I really wanted to hold on and identify, you know, myself with. And I like, even as I was, you know, saying I was from California to everyone else, I was trying to, you know, hold on to these, you know, relationships and feelings and ideas. And I think, for me, at least, that led to kind of a really, I think I've talked about this in the past with kind of other on this podcast, where I feel like, you know, within the, you know, spectrum of like TCKs, I feel like there's those that like really strongly identify with, you know, their, the culture they grew up with, they grew up in that country, and really kind of hold on to that. And I think, and there's others that are kind of like, which I feel like this is the category that I kind of fall into or fell into for a while, was kind of where I was like, okay, no one here is going to get Azerbaijan or anything about that. So I might as well just kind of shut that part of my life off, and I'm going to try to be the best, you know, most fit in, you know, chameleon American I can. And just kind of really to the point of like, even that, you know, there's the, you know, Mukapa, the missionary kid group, you know, and there were, and all of that stuff. I was like, I don't want anything to do with you guys. I'm going to find all my American friends. And I think for me, I was kind of like, if I can't hold on to this, then I'm just going to throw it out the window, you know, and really try and move on to this new thing. And I think, you know, since then, I think, you know, I've healed, and, you know, I've figured out that like, okay, I don't have to do that in order to, you know, to live here. And I've found more like, I guess, balance with, you know, that identity and experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
I think it goes to show that there's really just no easy way to do it. Like it's going to be difficult. I guess you just have to try and do the best you can. But yeah, there's no like one way that's going to be easier or harder necessarily. It's just, it's not an easy thing to go through. So especially when you're like a teenager and you think you know stuff and you don't really know anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that you said that you were from California. Because now when anyone asks me where I'm from, I'm just like Greenville, South Carolina.
Really? Like, okay.
I'm just so tired of going through, you know, oh, Belgium. I've had too many of those conversations. So I'm like Greenville, South Carolina. And then someone that knows me well, they'll be like, no, you're not. And I always give them a look like, now's not the time.
Dude, the friends that call you out, it's the worst.
it's the worst.
Let me be from California, man. Chill out.
It's like, I don't need to go in my whole life story right now.
No, and I think, like, and it is, even, like, with Azerbaijan, like, it's you know, when you tell someone, it's like hard because you, I don't know. I feel like I see people's like eyes kind of like glaze over because they have like no idea where that is, but they don't want to like say that. It's like, right. It's like, yeah, but kind of, you know, with you being like saying that, you know, you're from Greenville and that kind of being the easy answer out. Yeah, I guess with going to high school and then what did kind of life look like with graduating and then kind of, yeah, after high school, did you stay in Greenville? And you mentioned making the basketball team. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that, I guess that's where things, I guess, kind of went downhill for me a little bit. You know, I struggled so much that year that I was so kind of depleted emotionally, and I was probably a little depressed as well that I just didn't have any motivation to go to school. I told my parents, I was like, listen, I don't want to go to college right now. I don't know what I want to do. I'm kind of dealing through things. For a little while, I wanted to go back to Belgium, and I was kind of looking at options, and that kind of became a dead end after a while. And so I started working. And so I started working full time, and maybe a year after that, my mom was like, okay, you have to go to college now. So I was like, okay. And so Greenville actually has a pretty good community college. And so I enrolled in community college that following year, and, didn't do very well. You know, I didn't really want to go. So I wasn't very motivated. It wasn't that hard really, but I was, you know, looking back at it now, you know, I finally got a bachelor's degree, so I can kind of laugh about it now. But at the time, you know, my mom was pretty upset. Like pretty much every semester I would have to withdraw from a class. You know, I didn't really take it too serious. It was kind of, it was almost like high school in the sense that like, I have to be here. Right. And obviously community college is like very different than like, you know, a 4-year school, like a covenant, you know, those, you can't really even compare those two. So I struggled for a while, but I think what really kind of, where things started to turn around and I started to kind of get out of that funk that I was in was really relationships. You know, it takes a while to gain good friends, you know, and I think over time I started to kind of get close friends, that, you know, could kind of, that actually kind of got to know me a little bit. And, you know, they actually also happened to be, you know, not Native Americans in terms of like, they were from, you know, they were Burmese. And so we kind of had a few things in common, but it was really the relationships that kind of pulled me out of kind of a dark place. And, I eventually had, kind of a big moment in my life where, you know, I felt God really kind of change who I was as a person and kind of call me in a certain direction. And so that's actually what led me to Florida is, I actually dropped out of community college. And so which was a huge mistake. Should have just got my associate's degree, big mistake. But I ended up going to a small Bible college in near Orlando, Florida. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
A lot. That's kind of
it's a lot. A lot to digest. I covered like, I think maybe 6 years there or something like that.
Something that you kind of said early on that, you kind of mentioned wanting to go back to Belgium for a little bit. And then those doors kind of, you know, that kind of ended up being a dead end, I think is what you said. I feel like, that's a, I mean, at least with, you know, the people I've talked to, I feel like that's a fairly common experience. It's just kind of like, and it was for me, like I wanted to go back to Azerbaijan, and that was my plan for, you know, 3 years. And then my senior, you know, I was going to go back somehow. And I think since then, yeah, it's changed for me too. But I guess I kind of wanted to ask, what was your kind of, you know, other than just kind of relationships and people, what was kind of the desire there? And then what kind of ended up for that not working?
Yeah. So I think, you know, part of that desire to go back was just because, again, I was hanging on to all that stuff desperately. And so the best way to hang on was to go back. And I think, you know, you asked in the beginning of kind of our conversation about where home is for me. And at that time, you know, Belgium was home. Belgium was definitely home. I did not feel at home at all in Greenville, South Carolina. So, you know, and it's interesting because I don't really think I understood what home was then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I kind of tried. There was an American university in Brussels that I could potentially attend.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as time went on, and also my parents were, especially my dad, he was, you know, he really wanted me to stay in the States because he knew that it would be good for me. Like it was something he thought I really needed. And, you know, he did relent. He was like, listen, if you really want to go back to Belgium, you know, I'm not going to stop you from doing that. But I think kind of listening to my dad and as time went on, you know, the pain of leaving Belgium was kind of lessened. And, you know, I think gaining friends here that could kind of help me through a tough time, I just kind of realized that, you know, this was the hand that I was dealt, and I kind of, you know, it's up to me now to kind of make the best for it. And I guess I started to see the benefits of staying in the States and, you know, pursuing education or a career, whatever it may be. But yeah, so that's the Belgium thing kind of died out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have kind of mentioned, you know, your mom kind of pushing you towards community college and then your dad kind of wanting you to stay in the States. And I guess I'm wondering, just kind of with parental guidance, I guess, around, you know, around these things and what, trying to figure out what my question is, but I don't know. That's just kind of something I've noticed. Cause you said you started working, you know, full time after college and then your mom kind of pushing you towards community college. I guess I'm curious and I'm curious what your feelings and perceptions are of kind of, it seems like there's a strong desire maybe for them, for you to kind of stay in the States. Which I don't know if that was, you know, what was that kind of like, I guess? And
yeah, no, that's a good question. For my parents, so to give a little bit of context, Belgium, the church in Belgium is almost non-existent, which is kind of how it is all over Western Europe. And so, you know, the church that we attended was not very similar to like churches they have here in the States where, you know, it's a real community. It's something that you're really like, you can really be a part of, and, you know, you're really like, you know, you're the body of Christ. You know, you don't really get that in Belgium because there just aren't really that many Christians. And so I think the biggest thing for my parents was they wanted me to, you know, they wanted me to experience that kind of church community. And I, you know, they rightfully so, they really believed in it. They knew that it would really help me a lot. And so I was pretty hesitant to that because I didn't really trust anybody for a long time. I didn't really trust people, but you know, in hindsight, they were right. And in hindsight, I can say confidently that, yeah, that really was a huge thing that I was missing. growing up. And actually, I wonder what was it like in Azerbaijan, the church, the whole like church scene. And also one thing I'm really curious about is how was it going to Covenant, which is obviously a Christian college. My sister went to a Christian college and it did not go so well. So I'm curious to know that.
Yeah, I mean, for the church in Azerbaijan, I mean, we attended a local church, where there was kind of a local pastor, preaching in Azerbaijani, for the most part. So I think, as you know, when we were younger kids and going through middle school, I think it was a really we had, you know, friends there and community, and it was really good. I think as we got older, I think more towards our teenage years, I felt like we our Azerbaijani was not as good as our Russian, and I think we started to express kind of a desire for you know, kind of our native language, I guess, and feeling like we needed, I guess, ministry or church, in like, and I guess in English. And so we ended up, we also had like a little house church, so which was our family and teammates from like MTW, and then a couple other close friends. So I think that was really good. I think growing up, and I mean, yeah, I think as a missionary kid, it is weird because I think it's you kind of view the church and even to an extent just kind of religion as this thing that you and your family as work. And I think that's
Yeah,
something
it's a great point.
like even as a kid, you know, it's like it felt hard for me to kind of really connect with the church and kind of my own faith journey, because it's like this is like our family's job, I guess, which is like,
Yeah,
you know,
right.
like intellectually there's like all kinds of stuff, and I'm sure, you know, there whatever there's theological issues with that, I don't know. But yeah, I think coming back to the States, I you know, and going to Covenant College, there's a lot there. And I think it feels like a pretty polarizing place from like people that I've talked to. I think, you know, there's people that really disliked it, and I think there's people that have really, really enjoyed and benefited from it. I think for me, I mean, yeah, I had a pretty positive experience, all things considered. I think there's I don't know. How do I put this? I think I was able to kind of stay fairly disconnected from a lot of kind of, I don't know, the issues that people generally had with like Covenant, specifically like administration and professors and stuff. For me, it just felt like I was able to go and do my classes. The community I had, the community of guys was like really, really solid, especially my senior year. And the 3 times a week chapel, was really, really great. So yeah, all things considered, for me, it was like a really positive experience. I think like in terms of church stuff, that was a little bit more difficult, I feel like, because going to a Christian school is not, you know, it's not a church. It's not the church. So I
Right.
think, yeah, finding and feeling comfortable in a church has been a little bit more of a difficult journey for me. Kind of finding that. But yeah, no, I yeah, no, I think that's it's a good question. It's not something I usually think about, but because I guess I'm not like super opinionated about Covenant.
Right.
I don't know, like, because I feel like, yeah, it's a pretty solid place, and like it, you know, it
Yeah.
has its issues, but I mean, it's not necessarily something that I feel the need to or desire to get up in arms about, I guess.
The reason I ask is 'cause
Yeah.
Covenant is kind of like the MTW kids, a lot of them end up at Covenant. And, you know, it's one of the bigger Christian schools out there. And, you know, I've known a lot of people that have gone. And like you said, it's, I guess, a little polarizing. Some people have good experience. Some people have not so good experiences. I'm sure that's not just the school's fault, you know, just, you know, the culture shock and transition is very difficult. But yeah, I've known people that have, you know, gone to these Christian schools and then have kind of gotten alienated from the faith because they felt like, you know, it was so different, and, Christian schools, and all of a sudden being in this Christian environment, it's not what they expected, and it can kind of turn them away just like from the faith in general. And so that's kind of why I was asking to kind of see what your experience, and I'm obviously very happy that that wasn't your experience.
And I think, I mean, it has been, you know, it's been difficult kind of post college and graduation. 'Cause, you know, I have had friends that have kind of left the faith, and, you know, these are, I think that is something that's kind of difficult to see. And, I think I'm still kind of trying to figure out, you know, I'm 26. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, my own faith and journey and stuff. So I feel like I have empathy for people that have fallen away, because I feel like some of the reasonings and rationale and feelings around that, I feel like I'm able to empathize with some of those things. And, and at the same time, I feel like, you know, the gospel is true, and that's something I want to try and hold on to. I mean, you're kind of putting me on the spot with like faith and all this stuff.
You know, I know this is your podcast, but you better be ready to answer.
Thanks for pushing me on that. What about you with high school? And I mean, you talked a little bit about the church in Belgium, but what has your kind of, journey with all of that been?
You mean like in terms of like faith or like schooling?
Faith and church and all of that.
Yeah. So, I think there was, after I moved, I don't think I experienced the, like, you know, you're in a Christian college and that kind of alienation I was talking about earlier. But it definitely, I didn't like get here to the States and immediately be like, oh, church is awesome. Like, so it was hard at first to kind of get connected to a church because it was so foreign to me.
Yeah.
And kind of much of the dismay of my parents, I was not, you know, I was the guy that, kind of would show up for the sermon and then leave before, before the benediction. So yeah. I didn't have to talk to anybody.
Mm. Can I ask real quick? You said it was kind of foreign to you. What parts of church in the US were foreign to you, or what felt foreign?
I think that's a good question. Yeah. I think the people, you know, because I was still learning kind of the American culture.
Right.
And so, you know, people were very different. You know, like in Belgium, they don't really have like politeness, and you know, you were in Chattanooga, so you kind of know what it's like in the South. There's this level of politeness that everyone has. And, you know, over the years I've grown to love it. But when I first got there, I was like, you know, people don't talk to each other, you know, in Belgium. Like, they kind of do their own thing. They go to church, they worship, and then they go home. And so, you know, after, like, I think one of the biggest aspects of church that really kind of gave me anxiety was when the service was over, they were like, all right, greet those around you. And I was like, oh gosh, this is kind of awkward. Yeah. You know, like I'm not ready for this. So I think, I think it was that, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that you said, just kind of with the yeah, South and plight and all of that. Because I think coming back for me, that culture felt more comfortable to me. I was more kind of off put by the kind of, I don't even know how to say it, but just kind of like very direct, the directness, I guess. And I don't know if it's necessarily like a Northern thing or like an American thing inherently, but I felt like I was kind of off put when people kind of told me directly like what they thought or felt or wanted. And I think, yeah, because there's a much more indirect culture, I guess, in Azerbaijan, and even relating with my friends, you know, it's just very, yeah, it was just very indirect, and no one was like, all right, here's what I want to do. And I was, and you know, and I think for me, you know, getting to college and then people being like, you know, just incredibly direct about their needs and wants, which I guess, you know, there's a certain extent to that, which I guess is good. I don't know. But I think that was a lot more off-putting to me.
Yeah, it was very, very foreign for me. And yeah. Like, I don't know about Chattanooga. I've only been there a few times, but yeah. In South Carolina, people love to talk.
Yeah.
Like they talk, they just love to talk. And yeah. That was very different for me. Like in Belgium, you don't even like nod when you walk past somebody on the street, right. You know, yeah, like, people kind of get upset if you like say something to them.
Yeah.
So that was very
different.
Very different, and it was like maximized at church, obviously.
Right.
So I think that kind of scared me away a little bit, and you know, also just personal like struggles I was going through also kind of kept me from church, and I think I'm very thankful to God that, you know, even though I was really struggling, I still kept showing up. I mean, I didn't go every Sunday, but for the most part, like, I guess, you know, having just gone to church my whole life, I just felt like I should go. And it kind of turned around later on in my life where I kind of, you know, was kind of affirmed in what I believed. And so I kind of saw, I saw like the importance of it, and like, it's okay that it's uncomfortable, you know, like you can, it's okay to push through that a little bit because it's worth it.
Yeah.
So I think that's when it changed for me.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I think, yeah, kind of you've talked about kind of, yeah, church and Greenville, and then kind of ending up in Orlando, Florida, kind of in line with that. What are, like, as a TCK, I mean, you've kind of talked about Belgium and trying to hold on to there and some of your friends and stuff, and then struggling coming back here with high school and community college. Now, kind of what are some of the places that you've been able to find community, or that you've been able to kind of create community and feel connected, if that's something that you have been able to do?
Yeah. So I think, like we've been talking about, I think church is probably my primary source of community. But then probably school, you know, I went to a Bible. I ended up at a Christian school. So I went to a small kind of Bible college. And so probably my best friends are from school, you know, guys I lived with for a while, and we kind of, you know, went through school together. And so probably those two. I don't really have like an outlet of like social activities, I guess. Maybe I should get one. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, mostly church and kind of the friends that you made going.
What about for you? Do you have any like social outlets where you're building new relationships at all?
I think that's something I'm definitely struggling with. I feel like that's more in terms of just transitioning into like adulthood, I guess. And
yeah,
like those avenues are kind of more limited. I think some of the things for me that where I've been able to find community is I do rock climbing here in Chattanooga. And so I think I've found a couple of people that where I'm able to plug into that community a little bit. And then with some of my friends from college, I played D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm outing myself here. But yeah, so that
we could do a whole another podcast just on that topic.
I'm very
interested in that.
Okay, yeah. but yeah, that used to be a weekly occurrence. I think our DM, him and his wife are having a kid, so I think that's been put a little bit on hold. But yeah, I think D&D is a fun connection place, and then rock climbing. Yeah, and I think church, because we've been hopping around a lot and have just recently kind of found a spot, I think that hasn't been so much a community, but I'm hoping that it does kind of become that.
Are your parents still in Azerbaijan, or are they in the States?
They went back about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, because my youngest sister got married. But yeah, they're back in Azerbaijan now, but it's just them. All three of the kids are stateside. They're coming back October or November, I think, and they'll be here for a couple months. But yeah, they're still
technically their permanent residence is still in Azerbaijan. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of their their plan. So yeah, it was actually really fun because this past December, me and my wife and Kaylee. Or my youngest sister and my other sister with their at the times their boyfriends, we were all able to go to Azerbaijan and kind of visit as like an extended family, and that was my wife's first time visiting. Wow. And it was pretty fun.
How was that for you, like getting to show your wife kind of like where you grew up? What was that like?
It was interesting, I think, because It was good, but I think I struggled because that was my first time back in 5 years. So I think I felt more like a foreigner. My Russian is not where it used to be. A lot has changed in Baku, the capital. So yeah, I think I struggled because I didn't feel like I was necessarily like, I don't know, like I was returning home. It felt a little more like going to kind of a foreign country, which I think was hard because I, you know, tended to associate that with home. But I think I was able to kind of show a lot of things to Michelle that.
Okay, well, that's really interesting to kind of go back to, you know, you getting that opportunity to show, because Olivia, my wife, she came to Belgium not 2 years ago now. And I had been back already, so our experiences were probably a little bit different in that regard, mm-hmm. because I had a great time, like, just kind of getting to show her, like, Belgian culture and where I grew up, and it was so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That kind of segues into my next question of, like, so you with growing up in Belgium and kind of all of that, how have you kind of integrated that experience and or your experiences growing up and you know, Belgian culture? How have you integrated that kind of in your life today, and I don't know how, yeah, if that makes sense.
It's kind of a hard one.
I
don't know if there's anything like particularly Belgian that I've like integrated into my life, but I do think I've gained a lot of, you know, just experience, and with experience comes, you know, knowledge and skills. I think I'm a very, like, you know, you used the word chameleon earlier, and, you know, the kind of the ability to fit in wherever, you know, you can kind of talk to anybody. That's definitely a skill that a lot of TKCs or TCKs have. That they can, you know, they can communicate with people that are very different than themselves. And I think it's more just, experience that I have that I kind of apply to daily life. You know, that the ability to be able to talk to anyone and kind of fit in anywhere, it's really valuable. You know, especially like I'm looking for jobs right now. So looking for jobs, that's a great quality to have. Yeah. You know, because there are people are always worried. Can you fit in with this environment? It's like, well, yeah, trust me, I can fit into this environment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think I relate to that because I don't know if there's anything I've necessarily like taken really, you know, to heart or like kind of from Azeri culture, other than maybe, you know, having a above average appreciation for tea, I guess. but yeah, no, I think, yeah, that ability to kind of, yeah, connect with a lot of different, you know, types of people. And,
you know, it's funny when we were like, when we were kids or, and we would be at these retreats and, you know, the Williams is from Azerbaijan. I remember always thinking like, where the heck is Azerbaijan? Like, I know nothing about, you know, I know nothing about Azerbaijan. Yeah. So yeah, I remember always thinking that. And I don't remember thinking, seeing you guys like right. being like, oh dude, these are the most American people I've ever met.
Wait, us? Oh really?
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. American. But, yeah. Just on the outside, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I always remembered going to those retreats, and because I think for a while they had the Europe and Enterprise ones. I think maybe like
yeah, connected. They were called Enterprise.
Right. Yeah, they had them like connected, and so we always got to go with the Europe missionary kids, and I was really like, oh man, they're so cool. They get to live in Europe.
I know, like, so different.
Yeah, yeah, it's different, but no, it's a wild. Wild time, man. Yeah, I guess to close out, I guess if there's any anything else that kind of is, yeah, that you would want to share, or any parting words or wisdom or fun story or whatever, if there's anything like that. And then also, I haven't done this the last couple of episodes, but I've tried to like make it, I don't know what you call it, my motif, my like thing, is the name of the podcast is Worn Shoes, right? And the idea is, the shoes that have been the most worn have traveled the most places. And so I want to end every episode asking people what their favorite type of what their favorite shoe is that they have. What is their most worn shoe? But I haven't done a good job of doing that. But I do want to ask you what your favorite shoe is, what your most worn shoe is. And then yeah, if you have any final thoughts or
okay. Like with worn shoe, you mean like a shoe that I own right now?
It like, could be anything.
Like any shoe in my lifetime.
Any shoe in your lifetime that's, you know, that has a special place in your heart, or, you know, your favorite walking shoe, your favorite lounging shoe. It can be however you want to interpret it.
That's a good question. Probably. So I had these red, like, sneaker-like shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually Derrick Rose. They weren't basketball shoes, but they were just like kind of more casual. Mm-hmm. And I guess those shoes come to mind because they were part of the transition from Belgium to the States. So those are kind of memorable, I guess.
Yeah.
My favorite shoes now, though, are definitely just the most comfortable shoes that I could find.
Yeah. That's actually really interesting. You're saying it's part of your transition to the States. What do you mean by that? Yeah.
So like, for me growing up, and even now really, like, you know, my shoes, most of my, at least the shoes I wear often, you know, they probably last like maybe, I don't know, like a year and a half, 2 years. And then they kind of wear out. And so those particular shoes, you know, I had like a year in my last year in Belgium, and then I kind of had them my senior year, my first year in the States. So that's what I mean with kind of like transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were awesome. I loved those shoes. I just thought I thought I was so cool.
Yeah.
Wearing those shoes. I don't know if I actually was, but I felt it at least. So, and then, let's see, I'm not going to give any like words of wisdom.
No, that's fair.
I don't think I have any.
That's fair.
But I can, I do have kind of, I guess, a funny story that's, kind of speaks to the whole culture shock thing. But mm-hmm. I remember it was probably within a few months of me being in the States, there was a kid on the basketball team at the high school that reached out to me. He was really very nice. Mm-hmm. He reached out to me and he was like, hey, like, you should come hang out with some of my friends, you know, kind of get to know. And I was like, okay, this will be, you know, it's nice what he's doing. And so, you know, keep in mind, this is like my first interaction with like pretty much everything American, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So we go to this like little pizza place and we like eat pizza. And then, you know, obviously we do like separate checks and they come and bring the check and, you know, they take her card and then they bring it back. And I see everyone like writing in there and they're like tipping. And I was like, okay, I know in the States they tip. So I get the bill and the pizza is like $10. And right. I look at the bill and I'm like, I have no idea how much I should tip. Yeah. Like, cause I was like, I was thinking like, I'm pretty sure it's like 20%, but that's $2.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
am
yeah.
I really just going to leave this guy $2?
Yeah, $2.
So, and I'm like, a little uncomfortable because they're, you know, they've obviously done this a million times, so it's yeah. like nothing. But I'm kind of like nervously like looking around, and I remember I ended up tipping the guy like $5 or something on a $10 bill, and I didn't find out until much later that that guy, that waiter, probably was very happy with that.
Yeah. Oh wow.
But yeah, that was one of those moments they don't really prepare you for. You're like, oh.
Well, dude, thanks for being on the podcast and chatting. It was an honor and a privilege to hear some of your story, and I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed it.
All right. Sweet. Well, take care. Hey guys, thanks for tuning into this episode. I hope that you enjoyed my conversation with Andrew. If you did, I encourage you to go check out the Instagram and Facebook pages where all updates concerning the podcast will be posted. Next episode will come out the end of September, so stay tuned for that. Thank you all for your continued support of the Worn Shoes Podcast.